This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Is San Antonio going to the dogs? In fiscal year 2013, more than 25,000 pets were hit by cars and killed. Another 29,000 were picked up by the city and impounded. Still, there seems to be an inexhaustible supply of dogs roaming the streets of the city. It's estimated that there are 150,000 stray dogs in San Antonio. So we also have a dog bite problem. In 2013, there were 2,924 animal bites, mostly from dogs. And we are tied to be the second worst city in the nation for dog bites. So what are we going to do about this? We want to hear from you. What do you think about San Antonio's dog situation? What about owners? Is it not a dog problem, but an owner problem? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. And we're joined to talk about this problem with Lisa Norwood. She is the public information officer for the Animal Care Services at San Antonio. And Shannon Sims, he is the field operations manager for Animal Care Services at the City of San Antonio. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having us.
These numbers correct about all the number of dogs that we have, Lisa, and San Antonio?
You know, there's no way to really know. And to find stray, that's a big part of the problem. You know, when you think of the stereotypical stray animal, you think of, oh, goodness, you know, poor homeless pet who doesn't have anybody that's taking care of them, that's feeding them, providing them water and shelter. And the actuality is a lot of the animals that come into the shelter are owned animals that are allowed to roam. That's a big part of the problem, and owner responsibility certainly comes into play.
Well, how can they be owned and allowed to roam? I mean, you just like, this is
well, that's a good question. How can they be owned and allowed to roam?
What's the practice? It's like, oh, this is my dog, Bowser, but I'm going to let him just run the streets?
Well, I think that there's a number of things that come into play, and certainly Shannon can weigh in here as well, what he sees, you know, in running our field department. But I can tell you that the fences are broken. You know, fences are not fixed. Gates are left open. We've actually seen, I mean, our officers have witnessed folks that will go to work in the morning and leave the gate open. They go to work, dog goes to work too, comes home at the end of the day, and they come home too.
It's like they punched a clock.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So, Shannon, what is the situation in the streets of San Antonio? What's the worst part of San Antonio? Who has the most dogs?
Well,
running around.
You know, realistically, there's several different locations throughout the city, and it's really just kind of tied to the fact, like Lisa had alluded to, where, you know, we get out there and we see that it's just a responsibility, the responsible owner issue, where, you know, either there is no form of restraint whatsoever, or the form of restraint is grossly insufficient to make sure that the animal isn't out roaming the streets. A lot of times it's dogs that are insufficiently tethered. You know, possibly they have a rope, a shoddy rope or something like that that they're attached with. And, you know, we see them all the time with, you know, pieces of rope hanging off their neck and things like that.
But, I mean, I didn't know you were supposed – I thought you weren't supposed to tie up your dog like that. That would
you can't – you know, obviously it's not something that we recommend. However, if you don't have a fence, tethering is not illegal in the city of San Antonio. What's illegal is how you tether. So that's an important thing to point out. It's not illegal to tether your pet. And if it makes the difference between your pet remaining on your property and roaming the neighborhood, attacking kids and seniors – you know, we're going to obviously encourage you to humanely tether your pet.
So what's inhumanely tethering your pet? I mean, their feet have to be able to touch the ground, right?
Well, of course. Yeah, of course. Of course. We see animals that will come in that will have heavy, heavy toe chains that are fastened literally around their neck. Obviously, something like that is inhumane. Obviously, something like that is an inappropriate tether. But if you get a tether that is specifically made for a dog that is specifically attached to a properly fitting collar, something like that is humane, assuming that it allows the animal to reach their food, allows them to reach their water, allows them to get some shelter out of the elements. All of those things are, you know, examples of humane tethering. But you're right. I mean, living life at the end of a rope is not that much of a life at all. So you bring up actually a really good point, David, and that's that pets are part of the family and they should be treated as such.
So, Is San Antonio unique in the fact? I saw that we're tied with Seattle for being the second worst city in the country after L.A. for having dog bites. So Do we have a unique cultural situation here in the city with people feel like they have to have a dog?
Yeah, I think that there's so many parameters that come into play in terms of why dog bites happen. Owner neglect, you know, irresponsibility doesn't have a specific color or creed.
Yeah, well, but a culture, you know, but San Antonio, you know, doesn't have to be a color or creed or but just, you know, this is something that people in this city, they just like having dogs, and maybe, but they don't really like taking care of them.
Well, and
the two kind of go hand in hand, we say.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point. You know, when you, everybody wants to have a dog. It's cool to have a dog. San Antonio's got great weather year round, things like that, to have a dog. I think a lot of times, though, people, they get the dog, they don't realize that, you know, it's like your kid. If you just lock him in a room all day long, he's going to find ways to get in trouble. And so, you know, the education of the public to make sure that they're interacting with their dog, they're giving him outlets, things like that, that is what's going to keep him away from being a biting animal or an aggressive animal, things like that.
Okay, our phone lines are open. If you want to jump in this conversation, we're talking about San Antonio's population of dogs. We have a lot of dog bites in San Antonio. It's Dog Bite Prevention Week. Is that right, Lisa?
It is. It's National Dog Bite Prevention Week. It's something that we kicked off with the U.S. Postal Service. We've actually seen some improvement, so that's a good thing, but we're still seeing a lot of people that are bit by animals.
All right, so we'll explore that more. Let's get Edith on the line. Edith has called in. Welcome to The Source, Edith.
Thank you very much. You can cover it and answer the whole problem with two words. It's called accountability and responsibility. And as long as we allow it to happen, that we keep breeding these pit bulls, it's like a status symbol, and I'm not going to mention the culture or the part of the city. It's much worse in certain parts of the city than in others. And taking responsibility, making sure they have food and shelter. And I'm appalled how many times I come up on people and they throw up their hands in the air. Oh, my, all my puppies died. I said, did you give them worm medicine and flea medicine? They will die if you suck the blood out of them. And until we make these people accept their responsibility and being accountable, they will keep on doing it. And it's in many other ways, the same with children. Until you can have them. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. But then comes the hard job. Raise them.
All right, Edith. Thanks for your call.
That's the same thing.
All right. Appreciate your call, Edith. So she makes a great point. Edith talking about people with, heartworm is a big problem in San Antonio. We've got this huge mosquito population. It does infect dogs, and they need medication in order to control heartworm, Lisa.
Absolutely. You're talking about disease prevention. You're talking about basic veterinary care for your pet. And like Shannon was saying, it's something that comes along with being a pet owner.
And having this huge herd of animals in San Antonio, it allows the continued reinfection, and it's
absolutely
really hard to get
Unfortunately,
control.
Unfortunately, San Antonio has a very low vaccination rate, and that's why we've tried to provide resources for folks, low-cost vaccination clinics and
such. We're going to continue talking about Dog Prevention Week, the number of dogs we have in San Antonio. It's the Dog Bite Prevention Week. That's the important part of that phrase I've missed. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
May is National Bike Month. The Howard W. Peak Greenway Trail System along San Antonio's creekways now includes over 45 miles to enjoy, with more to come. Cyclists are reminded to be courteous, travel on the right, and announce passing on the left. Slower riders should stay to the right of the passing lane, especially with children and pets. More on the Greenway Trails at sanantonio.gov/parksandrec. This nonprofit message was underwritten by Shag the Salon and Spa.
Molly Malibu was
dark forest green,
a purple four-door.
He was a burgundy maroon, and the insides matched. And my car is making great radio.
Fresh Air
Morning Edition,
Car Talk,
Wait, Don't Tell Me,
Weekend Edition,
A Prairie Home Companion, and that's awesome.
Your unwanted car can help pay for your favorite programs on KSTX. Donate it through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Learn more at tpr.org.
You're You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. This is National Dog Bite Prevention Week. San Antonio is trying to take advantage of the week to highlight the issues that we have here and get the owners to be more responsible. We're joined by Elisa Norwood, the Public Information Officer for Animal Care Services of San Antonio. Shannon Sims, he is the Field Operation Manager for Animal Care Services at the City of San Antonio. And you, the listeners and callers, if you want to join the conversation, the number is 210-614-8980. Let's get Rick in on the conversation. Rick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Rick, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. An earlier caller said there were two words, and I've got two more words, spay and neuter.
Here, here.
Absolutely.
A few years, a local vet told me that there were 250,000 strays in this town. Now, this is before the no-kill program was put into place. And he said that the highest density was on the southwest side. He was a vet on the south side himself. He said it was a rural culture that doesn't like to spay the dogs. Somehow they just feel like it's, an intact dog is better. And but he didn't attribute it to race or economic or anything. He said it's rural people come into town or live at the edge of town or whatever. But anyway, that was his opinion. But spay and neuter, that's the most important thing.
All right, Rick, thanks for that. Your comments.
A few more years of spaying and neutering, I think we'll be set.
All right, so when you spay or neuter your dog, does it become any less capable as a watchdog or a protector?
Not at all. In fact, an animal that's spayed or neutered, an animal that's a part of your family, is going to be more interested in being a part of your family and providing that protection that your family needs, if indeed there is ever a problem.
Okay, let's get Mark on the line. Mark, thanks for calling into The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about dogs that chase runners. I run a lot in San Antonio, and, it's not uncommon that a dog will, charge me and be barking and have its teeth bare and everything. I'm just wondering what, people like me can do about it, because a lot of times it's not clear where the dog lives, and sometimes the owner comes out and says, don't worry, he won't do anything, but I'm sort of wondering what runners and walkers can do.
Mark, I am with you all the way. I felt sometimes that I was going to be killed by a dog, literally, these massive animals that come at you. They think you're a prey, like a gazelle or something, and they're going to take you down. And it is like your life is flashing in front of your eyes. Mark, have you had that experience?
Yeah, I had a friend who was training for a triathlon and was on her bike. Dog came out, just took her down, punctured, gave her some nice puncture wounds in a calf and knocked her off the bike. And, so apparently, otherwise people who are otherwise these people will think, oh, my dog won't hurt anybody, because apparently he's never hurt anyone in their household. But they just don't understand how the dog behaves around other people.
Right, particularly when you see something running down the street. Mark, thanks for your phone call. Appreciate it. You bring up a great point. What about owner responsibility, Lisa and Shannon, when it comes to this situation? Can an owner be ticketed? How big is the fine? What's the responsibility?
Yeah, absolutely. The owner can be ticketed. Your pet is your responsibility, and you're certainly responsible for any behaviors, including the nuisance behaviors, like running after runners that
that's
your pet
That's not a nuisance.
Does.
That's dangerous. That's hazard.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're talking about fines that start at $269. That's just for the roaming off property. Never mind if you don't have your vaccinations or your city license.
Go ahead, Shannon.
And then when you take into effect also that not only do you have the possibility of getting these citations, but also if the dog actually does attack, the owner is completely responsible criminally, in that situation.
So does that mean they're liable for any medical bills that the runner or anyone would incur?
Our local lawyers do very fine trade in dog bites.
So, but when we had this Buddy the Dog situation not that long ago where this dog bit a kid or something, and then everyone in town was all freaking out about Buddy the Dog. So what happened there?
Buddy the Dog was actually a dangerous dog case. The animal was off property. And
so it was roaming around.
It wasn't roaming around. The dog was on a leash. However, that leash was not attached to the owner. So during the course of interaction with the child, the dog bit the child in the face, required more than 100 stitches on her face. She had to be hospitalized, facial reconstructive surgery, that sort of thing.
So this was severe.
It was a severe bite, and it was something that we took very seriously. There was a lot of misinformation out there about the bite. The gentleman who owned the dog was an elderly gentleman, certainly a sympathetic character. That being said, his dog did bite somebody and bit a little girl in the face. It's something that we took very seriously and moved to have the dog declared dangerous.
Okay, how do you do that? How do you declare a dog dangerous? What's that? Because if I'm like the runner,
sure,
and I get attacked by a dog, maybe it doesn't really take me down, but it scares the bejesus out of me. So what do I do next? Am I call 311?
Well, that's certainly one of the things that you need to do. But understand that the dangerous dog law, all of the laws that we have here in the city of San Antonio governing dogs, a lot of times they're not self-initiated. In other words, ACS just can't point out a dog and say, gosh, that dog looks dangerous. We need to have an affidavit, an actual complaint from David saying, you know what? I was out running. I was out riding my bike, and this dog charged me. This dog bit me. This dog engaged in this behavior. That initiates an investigation, and based on the findings of that investigation, we can move forward to hold the owner responsible at a higher level beyond just a citation.
Okay, more callers. Bob has called in. Bob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Bob, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, this has been a problem for years in San Antonio, but it's a problem across the country. And the way that many cities deal with this is they develop these unfenced, off-leash dog parks. And these are parks that are areas that are set aside for people to take their dogs at certain times of the day. They designate certain times of the day for these dogs to get some relief so that it can get out and run. We run 20 dogs to 30 dogs a day over in Olmos Park, and we've never had an incident over there in the basin. The police come by, they say, hey, get your dog on a leash, and I've interviewed four policemen, and they've said, we always considered this an off-leash park area. Dogs, according to the people at the Parks and Recs Board, the chairman of the committee even said, dogs are less aggressive when they're off the leash and they're with their owner. They put up signs that indicate this is the owner's responsibility. They provide water, poop bags, and then they have a designated person who goes there, a volunteer. They have all kinds of programs across the country. They've got 27 in Portland. They've got 7 in Austin and not one in San Antonio. All they have are these little fenced-in dog parks where dogs can't really run. They don't. If you watch them, they just sit around and look at each other.
Okay,
when
Bob.
They run through the woods. They run for 2, 3, 4 miles a day. They play with balls. They roll each other around, and they have a ball, and we don't have any incidents. I've checked with the city.
So Bob, you want dog parks in San Antonio?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So let me see if we can get a response to that. Lisa Norwood, dog parks, do we have like that here?
We do have some dog parks in San Antonio. Like Bob pointed out, though, they are contained areas.
Okay.
But I think what's important about what Bob's saying is he's talking about socialization. He's talking about making your pet feel like they're part of the family and going out there and engaging in activity with them so that they do indeed, you know, a tired dog is a happy dog.
Okay, Jesse has called in. Jesse, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, how you doing? I'm a former Marine Corps canine dog handler.
And,
I'm sorry?
Rah.
Thank you. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we need to understand here, because we've had to shoot dogs that were locked on to kids, okay? And this misconception that people seem to, I don't know how they get these ideas that tethering a dog is okay under certain conditions. Dogs are not happy being tied up. You can paint it whichever color you want to, but they are not happy. They become more aggressive, and the minute they get loose because somebody walked by or they're unhappy, a lot of these kids that go out there and get these dogs, and we know as well as everybody else as that there's a big majority out there of a lot of these kids that are going out there and they're breeding pit bulls, you know, and they're using them for show. They don't give them no attention.
Okay.
It's very hard to play with a pit bull. You know, they have an uncontrollable lock. When they lock onto something, it's almost impossible to take them off. And this is really important for people to understand, because they figured that, well, finally, just because they got the AKC to accept them as a dog, as a registered dog, it doesn't mean they're not dangerous. They're completely banned off of any Marine Corps base in the world. And that was done years and years ago because of that reason. You know, we need to come and control with what's dangerous first before we really talk about, you know, what should be authorized and what should not be authorized. We need to get control of this danger problem.
All right, Jesse, thank you for calling. Appreciate those points. So, Shannon, you're out there in the field. Pit bulls, we have a lot of them in San Antonio. Are they vicious?
We do have a lot of the Staffordshire Terriers, the American Staffordshire Terriers, commonly known as the pit bulls. I really kind of fall back to there's no bad dog breed. It all breaks down to socialization of the animal. It all breaks down to how you raise the animal. It's much like kids. You know, you bring a child up in a loving environment and things like that. Now, the physical, you know, physically, the Staffordshire is a very, very strong, resilient animal, no doubt.
But dogs have instincts. You know, you can tell they're hardwired for certain behaviors.
Some of the sweetest pit bulls some of the sweetest dogs I've ever met are pit bulls.
Okay. I'll make another caller on the air. Carmen. Carmen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My name is Carmen Luna. I live here in San Antonio. And yesterday morning, two of my neighbors, pit bulls, invaded my deck. I have an 8-foot fence, privacy fence, and a little miniature Italian greyhound. And I heard my dog screaming. And I went, and I'm on a scooter. I'm disabled. And I wasn't about to go. I saw two pit bulls attacking my dog.
That's terrible.
I was terrified. And I called. I opened my window, and I started screaming at them at the top of my lungs. They got more bites in, and then they left my patio. I called 311. To report this, and they said that animal control, you know, I said, can you get animal control over here? And when I was told it would take up to 5 days for them to address my problem, I was in shock. So I called several times yesterday to stress that.
Carmen, how are you doing right now?
I'm not doing well. My dog's in the hospital.
I'm so sorry. Carmen, I wish I could talk to you more. Unfortunately, the tyranny of the clock, I've got to let you go. But thank you for telling that story. That's going to help a lot of people. We've been talking about dogs in San Antonio, and this is The Source on KSTX. We've got to take this NPR news break.
Support for KSTX comes from the McNay Art Museum's Docent Council, celebrating 50 years of service. The McNay is now accepting applications for the new Docent class. More information and online applications at mcnayart.org. Support for KSTX comes from the Victoria Convention and Visitors Bureau, announcing the 39th Annual Victoria Bach Festival, June 10th through the 14th in Victoria, Texas. Details at victoriabachfestival.org. Arts and Culture gets its own section at tpr.org, including news about local performances, fascinating stories from Deidre Saravia's World Music Archives, movie news, and more. Keep up with the Arts Beat at tpr.org.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jamie McIntyre. Today is primary election day in many parts of the country. High-profile primaries from Oregon to Georgia will help determine which party controls the Senate after the midterm elections. Republicans would need to gain 6 seats to take over. Meanwhile, Speaker John Boehner says Republicans are hoping to pick up a dozen seats in the House.
Just remember, it's a drive to 245. It's not that we're trying to set a number, but we're trying to set a goal.
Boehner says he doesn't think Tea Party...